Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, brought to you by Breeden RV Center. Breeden RV Center, family-owned and operated, a no-pressure, laid-back atmosphere, and always home of the free maintenance for life.
You're listening to the Hog Talk Podcast, part of the Believe and Hit That Line Podcast Network.
With us on the line is the voice of the Arkansas Razorback, Chuck Barrett.
Hey, former guest of the show, Coach Mike Nabors from the Arkansas women's basketball team.
We have from ESPN's Around the Horn, highly questionable. Also a two-time Dan Le Batard Show Suey winner and the former heptathlete at Cornell, Sarah Spain.
And we are happy to be joined by Martrell Spate.
Mr. Phil Elson, the voice of Razorback baseball and the Ladybacks.
Razorback Nation, welcome into episode number 183 of the one and only Hog Talk Podcast, live from the Heinemann Services Studios. I'm your host, Kyle Sutherland, alongside Kevin Bohannon and Porter Hayes, and we thank you as always for beginning your week with us. If you haven't already, guys, be sure and hit that subscribe button on whatever form you're listening to. That way you're notified anytime we release an episode, and it can help us get our name out there and reach more people, as you guys have always been so helpful in doing. The show is brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. The NBA, NHL, and MLB now are rolling, and BetOnline has you covered on all the news, scores, and odds. Plus, the best part, it's free to sign up. So head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We had a busy and very entertaining weekend of sports, headlined worldwide by the Masters as Hideki Matsuyama. I probably completely butchered that, but got a little close maybe.
That was great.
I actually got it on the first time, that one. I think I'm pretty close, but he became the first ever from Japan to win the green jacket, finishing the tournament. I believe it was at 11 under, 11 or 12. I didn't quite catch the end there. But a disappointing but hard-fought series for the Arkansas softball team over Alabama, which we will, of course, get into, and the one that we all cannot wait to talk about, beating those cocky, snooty, tick-tocking Black Bear Landshark Rebels of Ole Miss, which we will recap in the final segment. But, guys, it is truly officially spring. Yes, it is. I talked about last week that most people have a measuring stick of usually rank around Easter or so. That's for some people. But once you've had Easter, once you've had the Masters, the pollen is out. We've had these 80-degree days, tornado weather. Man, you know, besides that, pretty good time for sports right now, just with all the things that have been happening.
Yeah, when you speak of the Masters, I mean, that's like the kickoff. You know, and last year when they had the tournament in November, it almost like it was one of the weirdest things, because you're always used to seeing Amen's Corner and the azaleas and just it in full spring. So, yeah, Kyle, you're correct. I mean, the unofficial official kickoff to spring is Easter and the Masters. And then, of course, what's a good baseball series with Ole Miss and getting a series win over them? Like you said, the cockiness and just their champagne throwing when they hit a home run, yet they're still down six runs. I mean, it's just it's like they're all bipolar or something.
Yeah, and I said on the show end of last year, they're talking about the Powder Blues, and I got a young man that I coach that plays for Ole Miss, and I'm sitting there thinking, all right, they're going through pitchers like water right now. I think they had 9 pitchers on the day, and they had 17 walks. And I'm thinking, I know somebody in the bullpen that could at least throw strikes, but he's not throwing 94, 95, so let's not give him a shot. So screw you, Ole Miss. You know, that's all I got to say right now about that. Yeah, Kyle, like you said, usually March Madness gets the kickoff to spring, but yeah, we're right in the throes of it right now. Spring football is going on all around the nation. We had the Masters, didn't pay much attention to it because I was in a marathon baseball game today. Thank you to all the fans that followed along on Twitter out there. But yeah, it's a great time to be a sports fan and a Razorback fan. Got a lot to look forward to leading up to the summer.
Yeah, speaking of.
Hold on, just one second. You know, like, think about it. You know, Arkansas baseball is now 5-1 in the state of Mississippi. 2 road series wins, 1 a sweep, and 1 you get over. And both were ranked 2 and 3 in the nation, depending on what poll. So, you know, we can go to the trash talking here in a second, but just talk about the team and being able to take down 2 top 3 teams on the road, sweeping 1, and then with Ole Miss having a full, you know, full stadium, like a Baum Walker Stadium environment, and pulling out what was, you know, you're up 11-0 they come back, and then you go ahead and win 18-14. And that says a lot to what we have right now with this baseball team.
Yeah, that was really scary there, man. Just to think about all the times, the trash talk that we've been able to have since the 19 Super Regional, and then the season getting canceled and us not even playing Ole Miss, that entire offseason of being able to talk trash even up to this series. And to think about the amount of backlash that we would have gotten, they were down 11-0 at the bottom of the third, came back, tied it at 14, and then we got those extra four runs. But that was I was really sweating because I did not think – I was not sure that we – I wasn't going to say that I don't think, but I was probably doubting this team more than I really ever have, at least in terms of another team rallying. We've seen this team rally plenty of times this year, but with just the way – when once Bianco got tossed in the fifth and the way that the game was going, we just seemed like the momentum was going to shift there for the time being, or at least maybe not even just for the time being, for the entire game. To Ole Miss, you know, them being at home, this being the first really real crowd back to normalcy that these guys are facing, and the Razorbacks being on the road. But Porter, I want to go off of what you said, building off of that. Arkansas is 10-2 against top 25 teams, and they're all away from bomb. So the fact that we're doing this stuff on the road, yes, they are the cardiac kids, but Kevin, you might have to correct me on this. I think that they've been at least number one or number two in pretty much every single poll after week one. Maybe not unanimous, but they've stuck with that ranking. And here we are just a little over halfway through the season, and I don't think there's any question that they're the number one team.
Yeah, Baseball America's had them ranked for six straight weeks. It'll be seven after when it comes out tomorrow. Kendall Rogers has already said that we'll be back on the mountaintop for D1Baseball.com. Yeah, after that 3-0 start in Arlington, they've been number one or number two in some poll. And we had that good stretch right there for 3 weeks where we were a unanimous number one. Vanderbilt had a rough weekend at home against Georgia. I said pod people invaded Nashville and took over the Vanderbilt baseball team. That's just how baseball is. And I'm like you, Kyle, I was never comfortable today because I knew when we pulled Lyle Lockhart out after 2 1/3 innings, we had a pretty taxed bullpen because we played 7 hours of baseball yesterday. Kevin Copps threw yesterday. I don't really think they have Jackson where they can stretch him out yet. So I was stressing a little bit. My wife can back me up on that especially the way Ole Miss hits. I mean, them jokers can swing it. They had, 32 hits yesterday?
I think in the whole weekend it was 45 or 46 in all three games that they had. And that's what scared you because they are
extremely, that's ridiculous. Yeah,
they're dangerous. Even without Tim Elko, I mean, they just have not really missed a beat.
Hayden Dunhurst had half of those hits, I think. I know he was 7 of 10 the first two games. Struggled a little bit today, but yeah, there's not many easy outs in that lineup outside of Cale Brown over at first base with his Neanderthal caveman looks.
And one thing I wanted to add, could you imagine if baseball got the recognition and the hype that a football team does? Could you imagine if this was like the same hype as a football team saying, we've done beat two top three teams in the nation, swept one and won the series and another one. And you said we're 10-2 against top 25 teams. Could you imagine if that got the same amount of publicity if this was the Razorback football team? I mean, you think Twitter Nation's going crazy now. I mean, that would only boost things. And it's insane that, you're talking about the Ole Miss guy that was out, and they're the number three ranked team in the nation for, because they earned it. And the SEC is proving more and more that not only are they a football conference, they're a baseball conference. They're turning into one of the elite. It's like the SEC's turning into the elite conference of every sport, almost, of the big three. And you never know what you're going to get in a weekend series. So to go on the road and win, especially against an hatred Ole Miss team, and get the series win when they've really struggled against Ole Miss when it comes to regular season play. Now they have really good success against them in Super Regional in Omaha, but when it comes to regular season, Arkansas is really struggling against Ole Miss. So it was really nice for them to really get this monkey off their back and get this series win.
Yeah, it had been long. I feel like over the last at least 10 years, it seems, like you said, outside of the postseason, they just seem to always have our number. But we'll get back into this. And like I said, in the last segment, we'll break down a little bit more game by game, kind of talk about some guys that we really like, the things that we're seeing, and some things that we also have some concerns about. Because even though, like I said, I feel extremely comfortable with where we're at, we've shown time and time again that we are at least a top three team. I think really that we are without question the number one team in the country right now, but at least from a national standpoint, I think 100% that throughout this entire season that there's no way that you could rank them anywhere lower than like two or three, and I still think that's a little bit too much. But we'll go into a little bit of spring practice talk, guys. I talked last week about the quarterback competition. I touched on that in the first segment that I had done. Before we get into that, though, this segment is brought to you by our friends at Monster Bass. It's springtime. We've been blessed with some great weather, and it's a perfect time to get out there and fish. And the fine folks at Monster Bass have the new baits from the industry's top brands at affordable prices delivered to your door each month. And they handpick the best baits based on where you live and fish, along with providing top-level customer service. Head on over to MonsterBass.com and use code HOG10 to get $10 off your first box. That's MonsterBass.com, promo code HOG10, H-A-W-G-10. And, guys, I had talked about basically the quarterback competition is down to everybody knows it's Malik Hornsby and K.J. Jefferson, even though we've got about five or six guys, however many it is, in that room. But right now, and again, this is just assuming, I'm kind of repeating some of the things that I had said from last week, but I think that there's no question that unless he just completely bombs it in spring practice and fall camp, that K.J. Jefferson showed you enough against Mizzou. With what he was able to do in that game and the couple of other games that he's played, I know the start that he had against LSU, who was by far the top team in the country. This was obviously before that they won the national championship in 2019 when he got his first start. Still did some pretty good things in a road game against a tough team like that. But I definitely think that KJ has shown you enough that at least week one, he certainly should be under center, whether it be under center or shotgun, depending on the play. But, Kevin, I'll start with you. I know that there's got to be a legit competition, but do you kind of feel like right now it is KJ's to lose?
No doubt. And you saw the improvement he made from year one to year two, and I know that year one was under a different regime. So he's still really processing and learning all this. He didn't get the first team reps last year in game week under Brile. So he's getting those first team reps right now. I think we're just now scratching the surface of what he can do. No doubt that Malik Hornsby is a supreme talent. I think they will have some packages for him to where he can run some RPOs where teams will fill the box and he can roll out tight end flare out to the flats or something like that. So I could see that happening, but no doubt that KJ is the front runner right now. I don't think we will be too surprised when Coach Pittman says on first game week that he's our starter. It'll probably be done before that. I want to give kudos to Coach Pittman right now. He came out during spring practice and said, KJ's our guy right now. There will be competition, but that Chad Morris was always so flaky in his responses to those questions that everybody didn't know what was going on. You know your role. You know
he didn't know what was going on though.
Exactly. Yeah. So
I mean, really.
Yeah, I agree. So they know what they're supposed to do. They know their role, so they can move on and know exactly what they're supposed to do for every practice.
Well, and a lot of coaches, you know, you get sucked up in the whole media thing and the coach speak. It's nice to have a coach come out and say, you know, yes, this is our guy. You know, he's not worried about hurting people's feelings. But you know what that says to his locker room is, I've got control of this team and I've got confidence in my guy. You know, that's the way it should be, whether it's Hornsby or KJ. But, you know, from last year, KJ is the one that got the most reps. And in the game against LSU or Missouri, was it the Missouri game where he played a lot of snaps?
That's where he started, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, in that Missouri game, I mean, he showed a lot of progress and did really good things. So I think if Pittman was to even entertain that Hornsby would be a potential starter, I think it would downgrade the locker room because what KJ Jefferson has done leading up to this year, you stick with your guy, let him go out and see what happens. And then we're talking about spring camp, you know, you've got a couple of weeks of practice, you got a spring game, and then you got off season and you got your fall camp. So there's a lot of things that can happen between now and then.
This Saturday.
So when it comes.
Or go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say this Saturday is the spring game. It's at 2:00 Central Standard Time on SEC Network Plus, so you can stream it. I wanted to ask you guys how much you think this is the first spring practice that we've had under Briles, Odom, Pittman, this entire staff. How much of the offense do you think we'll actually see?
15%.
I was going to say, about 20, 25, maybe. Yeah. 25 is being extremely nice. That's kind of why
I mean, It just goes to what I was saying. It's the spring practice. I mean, you're just trying to get some reps, and you've got your whole off season weight training. Get your freshman that's coming in, that's graduating high school, you know, get them in the off season program, and then fall campers. This is just an audition. This is just a glorified practice of what you might see next year. In the grand scheme, there's a big gap in between April and August. So it's just to get some, you know, take advantage of what spring practices you can get that leads into the fall camp. So I don't hold too much weight into what's going on right now. I want to see what's going on in August with these, when these kids get a whole true non-COVID full off season, get some full 2-a-day practices, full pads, and really get back in the swing of things. Let's get this thing back to normal, and then we're going to see where we're really at, you know, under Briles and Odom and Pittman.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. I completely agree with you. You want to see what they can do once things are completely. We keep talking about normalcy, and we are getting closer and closer to that. But you want to see now we're basically there in a lot of ways, at least in terms of their everyday activities, the way that things are going to be happening, them actually getting to have a spring. You would assume get to have a normal fall camp, or as normal as it could possibly be, especially by that time once you get to August. And so that's why I don't put a lot of, like, I talk about spring practice and some of the headlines that are going on, but I don't really put a lot of things that I see in a scrimmage or a spring game, because these are a lot of new faces, a lot of guys that really haven't had a whole lot of experience. Like right now you're hearing about the secondary being the guys that are shining in practice. We hear about that a lot every single year, because it's not that hard always to look, especially when you know what's coming a lot of the times and you're in shirt and shorts. So that's another thing you got to consider too. But I wanted to bring up real quick, guys, kind of switch, not necessarily switching subjects, but switching to a different topic within spring practice. There is a lot of options that we're going to have at wide receiver this year. And one of the guys that we're really anxious to see if he's going to rebound is Trey Knox. I know that there was an interview done with him the other day and kind of talked about where he was mentally last year and some things that he had gone through. And I really got to say, I have an ultimate amount of respect for this guy. I know that we were pretty hard on him, just like a lot of people were, and rightfully so, last year, not really understanding what was going on. Was he still injured? Was it something that was mainly going on in his personal life that we still really don't know all of the answers, other than some of the things that he had said that were a little bit vague. But I got to say, though, with the way that the world is, where it's just if things don't go your way, you transfer. Look, we saw what, and Porter, I know that you had talked about this a little bit off air, but we had talked about, and I'll let you elaborate on that more, but Jerry Jeudy is a prime example about how he basically said, Jerry Jacobs, not Jerry Jeudy, not the Alabama and Denver Broncos wide receiver. Yeah, Jerry Jacobs said that he regrets essentially not sticking it out. And I really admire the fact that, especially when you are a highly touted guy coming in, there were some people, not just Arkansas media, that were saying that Trey Knox could be the freshman of the year in 2019. And he had a pretty good season. That was when he was dealing with that hip injury that had happened against Ole Miss in week two. But last year was just non-existent. And so you really got to give the kid props for sticking it out and trying to make things work. And I really think it will for him.
Yeah, on the Jacobs deal, I mean, I was talking off air about how he was so humble and saying, man, I made a wrong decision. If I could take everything back, I would have stayed at the University of Arkansas instead of entering, you know, eligible for the draft early. And I think that's what's happened to Knox. I think he got into the fact that he wasn't getting enough reps. He's a reps guy, and he's holding himself accountable now, which is awesome. That's what we want to see. So you can't sit here and dog a guy for being selfish, and then if they're actually taking the steps to hold themselves accountable, you have to praise that, because that's what we want. That's what we want out of them. And I think it just goes to show the culture that's at Arkansas. I think Knox really, when he pulled his head out of the clouds and was like, man, I was being really selfish. And for him to acknowledge that, that shows that what we were saying in the media, what we're saying on this podcast was right. Because if you're self-reflecting on that and you're admitting it, then that just gives us validation of what our speculation was, that he was just not getting enough reps and he wasn't happy with it. So for him to turn around and say that's the first thing that I thought when he was saying that, was that just reminded me of Jacobs and how he was in that press conference. And not one time did he pass the buck or try to blame or make excuses. He sat there and was like, 100% that's on me. So what we need to see now is action. He's taken the accountability. He said what he has to say. Let's see how he does in offseason and fall camp.
Yeah, and for those that didn't see the article, whether it be online or in the ADG, he said he was sick a little bit, lost about 10 pounds. He's gotten back to a healthy weight, even put on 10 pounds during the offseason. But he didn't get the reps during spring practice or preseason fall camp because he was sick and he fell behind and he lost confidence. So getting his confidence back, that's been the biggest battle with him right now. Simeon Blair mentioned in the same article that he's just been a totally different receiver to cover during spring practice. So it's good to see that. Maybe he can be that third receiver that we were hoping he would be behind Treylon Burks and Mike Woods. But then you got Jaquelin Crawford, Davion Warren's coming back. It's going to be a stable of receivers, like you said, Kyle, that KJ Jefferson or whomever is under center is going to have options out there.
Yeah, that's a great thing to have. And that's one thing, you know, that I think people, whenever you're in the recruiting process, I think that some get caught up in, well, we don't want to bring this guy in or that guy in because we've already got this guy. And we don't healthy competition, like good healthy competition between players like that. What do you think that Georgia and Florida and Alabama, I'm not saying that we're ever going to be on Alabama's level or anything like that, but that's the thing, is you've got to have multiple players. And we know that, especially on the offensive and defensive line. That is great that we have, you know, you got to have it in the trenches. We know that. That's what Sam Pittman's trying to do, build it from the inside out. But I love the fact that we have all these skill players, these running backs, these receivers. And I really hope that, you know, you always hope that for a bounce back for a kid, but I would love to see him have like a Grant Morgan type year, to where he just, I'm not saying he's going to be like an All-American or anything like that, but definitely being able to show the talents that he does have, the way that we know he has. We just would like to see it come out. So, again, that spring game will be on this coming Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, streaming on SEC Network Plus. We're up against our first break. Once we get back, we will talk about some basketball recruiting news, some of the grad transfers that we got last week, and then a softball report from the series with Alabama, and then finally some baseball. Stay with us. You're listening to the Hog Talk Podcast. Are you one of the millions of Americans who suffers from anxiety, feelings of worry, or just dread beginning a new week? Sunday Scaries products are here to help you stay chill and mellow. Visit SundayScaries.com to check out the vitamin-boosted gummies, hemp oils, and much more. There is no risk to buy, and the company offers a 100% lifetime money-back guarantee, meaning if the product is not for you, you'll get your money back. Again, it's SundayScaries.com, and use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for 25% off. SundayScaries.com, promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V. Make your outdoor experiences even better with Kanon sunglasses. Their Japanese optics make their lenses clearer, lighter, and stronger, plus the Italian handcrafted frames that are impossible to scratch. Use the exclusive code KanonCast15 at Kanon.com to receive 15% off of your first pair. That's KAEONCAST15. Kanon, clearly better. We're back on episode number 183 of the Hog Talk Podcast. Kyle Sutherland, Kevin Bohannon, and Porter Hayes with you. And we're going to get into some basketball recruiting news. Arkansas added their second and third grad transfers out of the portal this week, gaining the services of Miami guard Chris Likes on Wednesday. Here comes the name going to get me again. Is it Stanley? Is it Stanley Amude from South Dakota? Is that how you put it?
Amude.
Amude. Amude. Okay, I figured there was probably emphasis on the E.
It's a tilde on the E. Yeah.
Amude. Okay, so we got the Adis Tony, I think is Adis, yep. Adis Tony, and Stanley Amude. So I'm getting this. I'm going to get there at some point, but Sam, he is from South Dakota. We got him on Friday, and he's referred to as a positionless player. And I can't remember who it was. I wish I would have taken a screenshot, because it was from someone that was outside of Arkansas media. When you think of positionless players, you think of a Eric Musselman type guy that he looks for. And so I was very excited to see this from somebody outside of the Arkansas media. I'm really impressed with what he was able to do. When we played them in 2019, I believe he had like 13-8 or 13-9.
Yeah,
it was really close to a double-double. Just a really good player, can play pretty much anything. I know that Musk probably will have him more than likely around like the 3 or 4, but probably could play the 5 whenever they're playing small. So, I mean, I've seen some people list him as a guard. I've seen some people list him as a forward. And I guess that's where the positionless player comes from. Now, Chris Likes, guys, I actually haven't seen a ton of film over Stanley, but Chris Likes, I watched a good bit on. And he only played last year two games due to injury. But over his entire career at Miami, he's averaged 14 points per game. He's not very tall. He's only 5'7", which, you know, of course, some people brought that out without actually even seeing him play. But if you turn on the film, I don't think you're really going to care when you see him driving the paint, sometimes spinning to the basket to finish, or just what he can do from long range. Watching the film, I noticed that he is really good at making you guess. You don't know if he's going to pass, if he's going to drive, if he's going to shoot it where he's standing, and he can hit from extreme long range. And then you've got Stanley, that's, I'm just going to call him by his first name. He averaged 21 points per game, shot 47% from the field last year with seven boards. And he doesn't have the height that Justin Smith has quite a, he's around like the 6'6", 6'7" range. Justin was like about 6'8", 6'9". But with his ability to play essentially anywhere he's asked, this staff for sure definitely has plenty of plans in place for him, you would think, and with a front court that has a lot of questions. You know, what will Connor Vanover play? What role will he have? You've also got a Cole Mawine, the nation's top JUCO power forward, and we still don't know what Little Rock transfer Kamani Johnson can do. That still remains to be seen. So with the addition of these two and Tony from Pitt, I really think that we scored big in the transfer portal. Guys, I mean, I don't think it's crazy to say, and this remains to be seen. A lot has to happen, but we might have actually gotten, as a whole, a better grad transfer class than last year.
I agree. And there's still one spot left. So what are they going to do with that? A lot of people say we need another guard. I think we're 6-6 right now on backcourt, front court. Some people say we need another banger down low to get rebounds, all that good stuff. I think Kamani Johnson is going to be that guy for us next year. It's going to kind of fill the Justin Smith role. But back to Chris Likes, the kid is fast. He is quick, blazing twitch fast all the way. Yes, I made a mention to you the other day that outside of football or track, I think him and Casey Martin are the two fastest athletes to ever put on a Razorback uniform, and he hadn't even put one on yet. So I'm really excited about him. Tony, he's one of those, like you said, positionless guys. That's what I was talking to you guys about. Us wants guards that and forwards that can transition between those two and three spots that are fast, long, and athletic. That's what we're going to get. Plus, you got JD Notte coming back, sixth man of the year. It's going to be a really good team next year because you're going to have Devo and Jalen that are another year. They've already stepped up. We saw that in March Madness. So, yeah, I think we got a little bit better this year, and it's going to be a really exciting team. They've already been preseason ranked in the way too early polls by every major media outlet. So Mus is doing his thing, and I made the mention, and I'll turn it over to you, Porter, that the one-and-done era is done. This is the next generation of that, and one-and-done out of the transfer portal. So used to, you'd have all the freshmen that come in. It was killing Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina. Or Duke and North Carolina, they adapted to it. Kentucky was doing it with Cal. He invented it. But now you've got these transfers that are making it one and done at a higher level. You've got experienced players that you can plug in and roll them in and out. Mus has adapted to that, and he's done a really good job. He's made Arkansas a national contender again doing that.
Yeah, and to touch on that, you know, it's like you said, the one and done is not done. It's just a different element. Like Musselman, I listened to his recent episode on the Hogpot. You know, like Justin Smith come in 1 year. He's like, dude, you come in, you produced for me. And now I want you to go on to overseas. I want you to go do something better. And that's what he's bringing them here for. Give me 1 year. Give me 1 year 100%, and I'm going to get you to overseas, or I'm going to get you into the NBA. That, I think that's the message he's starting to send. What really stuck out to me with Likes was he said the reason why he wanted to come to Arkansas is he watched that Baylor game. And he's seen what the guard Mitchell was doing. And he's like, man, if I was on Arkansas, I'm not saying I would have guaranteed a win, but I would have helped them out tremendously. So he wants to come. So kids are seeing this. People are seeing, one, Musselman wants the transfers. You know, transfers are going to want to go somewhere where they can be an immediate impact on your team. And if you already know as a transfer, you've got a coach like Musselman that's fully on board with the transfer portal and using you, that's where they're going to go. And I think Musselman's just scratching the surface of what he can really do with this transfer portal. And another thing that's really helping him out is you've got a lot of these old school coaches that are against the transfer portal. They don't like digging into it or going and recruiting. He said on the podcast that as soon as the Baylor game was over with, he was already on recruiting calls, Zoom meetings that same night. Even though he was in a bad mood after the loss, he knew how important it was to recruit these guys. And to these kids that are entering the transfer portal, they want to feel like they're being re-recruited all over again. And you got a guy like Musselman that's coming in 110%, and they're seeing it's not a front. They've seen the enthusiasm he has on and off the court. They're going to want to start coming here. And I'm telling you, Musselman has the chance, if it's done right with what his and his staff is doing. I mean, Arkansas has a chance to become a juggernaut with this transfer portal game.
And he likes to build his teams like he built his NBA teams. That's been talked about, and I mean, it's very clear that that's exactly what he likes to do. It's almost essentially like an open free agency. And this has not been officially confirmed, but allegedly one of the reasons that some would say was the final straw for legendary North Carolina coach Roy Williams to retire after Walker Kessler, who was one of his five-star bigs from last year's recruiting class, entered the transfer portal. There was a lot of things. There was some people saying, which this was, I think he actually mentioned this, that he wasn't the guy for this team anymore. They had been on a downward slide in the last 2 years. They're 33 or 32 and 30. Did, of course, sneak into the tournament this year and got bounced in the round of 64. But that was what some were saying once Kessler entered the transfer portal. That was just kind of his final straw because he just feels like he continues to have to start over. He'll be 71 sometime this year and just really felt like it was time to hang it up. And so I'm wondering that, yes, you're going to have coaches retire because of stuff like this, but I really wonder, like, maybe some of the younger generation that's against this, really, what's this going to come to? You know that every time, no matter what the scenario is, whether it's straight from high school to the pros, whether it's that they, whenever you get to the transfer portal, that, you know, if you're not a grad transfer, that you might just get immediate eligibility, like we saw what didn't happen with Connor Vanover. My thing about this whole deal, I've had my opinions one way or the other, but I've really gotten to where I don't really care what happens. I just want it to be consistent. Like, I think that there's – and the reason why I've kind of gotten to where I don't care is because, Porter, I know you – well, we've all talked about this, that you don't really know a kid's situation. Like, sometimes a kid just might want to leave because they just want to leave and they want to take another easy road out. But then sometimes there's legit situations, whether it be a death in the family, a sick family member, whatever it is. I just basically wish that the – which this is – we're talking about the NCAA, so it's never going to happen because it just makes too much sense. But they just set guidelines that, okay, if you want to transfer after your freshman or sophomore year, here is some of the ways that you can be immediately eligible. Here are some of the ways that you can't. All I'm asking for is consistency right here. Now, I know that this kind of doesn't relate because we're mainly talking about the grad transfer portal, but to wrap all this up in a summary, I'm pretty much saying that I think that this is actually, yes, it is 100% the way that it has gone and the way that it is going to continue to go. But I could see a lot of disputes about this, maybe not just with some of the older coaches, but maybe some of the ones that are like in their 40s, 50s that are a little bit younger and don't like this method either.
Well, and what I was going to bring up is the NCAA needs to take advantage of this. I think that this transfer portal is like a diamond in the rough. Like when it comes to when you're marketing the NCAA, if you're allowing the one and done and everybody's worried about all the stars leaving, you know, after their first year going to the NBA, and what's college basketball going to be left with? This could fix this. If you got guys that are averaging 18 to 20 points a game and then they grad transfer to another school and now they're on a team, it's almost like college is building super teams, and it's what it could become and make it more exciting. So I'm all for what's going on with this transfer portal, because this is what we need. Because if you got your top, like they're bringing up this G League where all the top high school players, they could forego their college and go to this G League or go overseas or do whatever and not even go to college basketball at all. This could really be a fix. If you got, it would add more excitement. You see what it's done for Arkansas and Hog fans with Justin Smith and Jalen Tate. And now this year we got, you know, Likes, Amude, you know, it's brought a new excitement to Arkansas and they're taking full advantage of it. And you know what? These older coaches that are not happy with what Musselman's doing is because they're taking advantage of what's given them. You know, oh my God, how awesome would it be to be Roy Williams and Coach K and Cal to be handed 5 5-stars every single year without even having to hardly recruit because you're Kentucky, Duke, and North Carolina and Kansas. You know, Musselman has worked tirelessly to work through the transfer portal and grind and get these guys, and now he's kind of evened up with their advantage, and then Roy Williams just cuts out and says, I give up. I can't do this no more. I think that's a kind of a coward's way out, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. Like, I think for me, I've thought that he was going to be. See, and one guy that I'm shocked that we're still seeing is Jim Boeheim. I thought that he would have retired a while back. I thought that he had actually mentioned that he was going to be gone after like 2017, 2018. A guy that I've never even really heard like what he thinks. I'm just singling him out, but. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think with the way that it is again, you're just always going to have people that are going to, like, you're going to have some that don't like the structure that it is. We saw what had happened whenever the whole one and done thing happened. Many people felt that the NBA was basically just kind of like, okay, well, we're going to give them a year out of school, that whether they want to go play pro, whether they want to play 1 year in college. So I don't know. You're not going to make everybody happy. We know that much. And that's just kind of, that's the way that the cookie crumbles. And so,
yeah, I mean, how many people hated Cal when the one and done rule came, and he was taking advantage of that at Kentucky?
Yeah, he was doing.
You know, and with the Boeheim deal, I mean, his son played. I mean, I think that had a lot to do with why he's still kind of coaching, because Buddy, you know, his son is still there. I don't know if he's a senior this year or what. So, I mean, that might have some play into why he's still coaching.
Yeah. Well, we're going to make the transition over to softball now. And the Lady Backs, as I mentioned in the open, they dropped their first SEC series of the year, first couple of SEC games of the year. They were undefeated up until then to the Alabama Crimson Tide. And Porter, of course, I'll start with you to get your reaction. I know that you were there on Saturday for a little bit. Game one, Bama, they scored 4 runs in the third, and then once Arkansas had their turn in the third, they responded with three right after that, and then Bama got 1 more in the fourth, eventually winning the game 5-3. And Mary Half struggled, something you don't see very often. Then Saturday, Autumn Storms just pitched a gem, a complete shutout, and a 4-0 victory. And Sunday, Arkansas was in scoring position a couple of times, but they just couldn't overcome a 2-0 lead. So just because they lost this series, I still don't think any different than I did before, that they are definitely a contender, no question about it. Talk about some things that you saw Saturday. I know that, again, you weren't there for the entire time, but that was the best game that they played over the weekend, and what Autumn Storms was doing, just being her typical self pretty much. And, of course, you saw – I know that Braxton Burnside hit a home run pretty close to you. So what were some of the things that you saw on Saturday?
Oh, Saturday was just the atmosphere. And I mean, I tweeted the picture. I mean, you know, and yes, I am the women's analyst here, but it's – and I – and proud to state what things are going on. And you look at a softball team that was 4-26 in SEC play 5 years ago. You know, it was 11 a.m. first pitch. The temps, it was – now, guys, I was up there working. It was 45 degrees and rainy at 10:30. And it was a sellout crowd. Like, people were in the berm, in the seats. And it was just an electric atmosphere. You just knew that – they were going to win this game. And when Braxton Burnside hit that, it was a first pitch blast. It come right at me. I mean, if I would have stuck my hand out, I could have caught it. Me and the gatekeeper guy was sitting there having a conversation, and it coming, it was literally a one hop away from hitting me right there and right next to the gate. But Storms was in her own zone, and she just pitched a gem. I mean, it was seven innings, complete game shutout. I think allowed 2 hits, but today's game, they couldn't capitalize on their hits. They only allowed 2 hits. They got 2 hits on today, and Burnside got 1 of them. But you got to realize you're playing the third-ranked team in the nation in Alabama. Alabama's a storied program. They're good. And you get this is what I really don't like when it comes to when you hype up a team and you start bragging on a success like the softball team. You know, you're like, oh, they're doing so good. We're so proud of them. And then they lose a series like this, and then it's like you just deflate the balloon. Oh, well, they were overhyped. Oh, they played Alabama, the third-ranked team in the nation, 2 runs. They lost by 2 runs both games and won the second game 7-3. So, I mean, this is still a really good team. I think they're streaky when it comes to hitting, but once they get going and once they get their home runs going, I mean, Kayla Green hit two Saturday. I mean, absolute bombs. So this pitching staff, yeah, Mary Half, you know, she had an off night, and then Autumn Storms today picked up her first loss. She's 5-1. So, I mean, it's a learning lesson. You know, Arkansas's never been in this position. This is the first time in school history that they've had a top 10 matchup in Bogle Park. And I'm telling you what, like the Bogle Berm and everybody that was out there and the kids were dancing and stuff. It was really cool to see on a Saturday morning at 11:30 in the morning that how many people were there cheering on this team. So yeah, they can't hang their hats on this and take this loss as, you know, they got Georgia up next and they're still 12-2 in the SEC. Well, you go from 4-26 to 12-2 in the SEC. That's saying something.
I feel like just last week we had only played like 20 games, and I'm looking at it now, and we've got three series left. Like you said, they got Georgia. They go to Georgia this weekend, and then they've in between that and the Missouri series, they've got another matchup with UCA. That one's going to be at Bogle, and then whenever April 24th through 26th. The Missouri Tigers, Braxton Burnside's former team, will come in, and then they finish up in Baton Rouge at LSU before the SEC tournament. And it's gone by so incredibly quick. But like you said, you know, it's going to be – you're going to have those people that are going to start doubting. We've had incredible support. We've talked about the job that Hunter Yurecek and this athletic department has done really promoting the program. But you're seeing on Twitter, you're seeing on my personal Facebook, I've seen this weekend and really weekends past this whole entire spring about how people are excited, not just for baseball, but for softball. They're really tuning in. They're really getting involved on social media. And like you said, Porter, Saturday is a testament to that, that despite the weather, that they were there and they were showing out. And so it's just great to see that support all the way around. And so,
Yeah, and one more thing, you know, they're sitting still at 33-5 on the year, you know, 19-3 at home. They're 13-2 in conference. But I wanted to bring up one quick point. We had a message on our Hog Talk Facebook post about when I posted that picture about being at the game. And they said, I have never watched one inning of collegiate softball. And because of the success of Arkansas softball, I started watching. They watched yesterday's game and they fell in love. Guys, this is what this is about. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what we do. What we do is to bring more awareness. And if it just takes one person to sit there and say, now I love college softball, I'm going to start watching, they're going to tell 10 people. Now they're going to start watching it. So that's what stuck out most to me was that one comment that fan made that they have never watched college softball. And because how good Arkansas is doing, now they're a fan.
Yep, that's what I tell you guys all the time. You know, with my podcast, Gridiron Icons, is as long as the only three episodes that I've done so far, because I just started it back in like January, February, but each time when the family members or the former players, and I've had from all three episodes, all of them reach out, whether it be a former player or a spouse, daughter, son, whatever, it's just always great. That's what makes it all worth it. And so I really appreciate you. I don't know who it was. I remember seeing the message. I can't remember the name, but we certainly appreciate that and all the support as always. So, well, we're up against our final break, and then we will recap the Ole Miss series. Oh, this is going to be a fun one. I can't stand those guys. You all know that, but we will be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to the Hog Talk Podcast, part of the Believe and Hit That Line Podcast Network.
With American National, you get a dedicated agent who will help you make well-informed decisions about protecting your lifestyle. Call us today for a free review of your commercial, home, and auto policies, or to learn more about our customizable farm and ranch insurance. Let the Atkins Agency be your agency of choice. You can visit us on the web at theatkinsagency.com. Call us at 501-428-0877 or connect with us through Facebook. Go Hogs!
Located in Fayetteville, Rapology is your top spot for banners, signs, and wraps. From commercial fleet wraps, color changes, vinyl decals, and much more, they take care of you in a timely and professional manner. Call Rapology today at 479-368-6490. Again, that's 479-368-6490.
The Hog Talk Podcast is brought to you by Heinemann Services. Heinemann Services is a family-owned and operated business whose work ethic and customer service will restore your confidence in handymen. They offer interior and exterior projects for your home or business, including repairs, installations, small remodels, landscaping, decks, fencing, and much more. Call Corey and his crew today at 479
479-347-9336. That's 479-347-9336.
Welcome back to the Hog Talk Podcast. Kyle Sutherland, Kevin Bohannon, Porter Hayes with you, and we are on our final segment, the one that we have all been looking forward to, the grand finale. And to my knowledge, Kevin, I said this on Friday's show, but I never looked to see if it was actually accurate. I believe that this was the highest-ranked matchup between these two schools, certainly at least in the regular season, but I'm pretty confident this was the highest one as of date, and it did not disappoint all of the hype. So the second-ranked Razorbacks won the series, again, over the Rebels. Those nice little names that I referred to them earlier, all those – oh, man, I just hate those guys. Like, I've talked about it on here before, but I truly hate Ole Miss. Like, I don't hate – they're like Brian Rippey that we had on the other day. Nice guy. Really love talking with him. I don't hate necessarily individuals that root for them, but just their program in general. Like, what kind of program that they run? Just that cocky, arrogant – little kid at school, or that athlete on the football team, well, an athlete I use extremely loosely, that just never did anything, or maybe they got like one touchdown in a game and that was the only thing that they ever did. It's kind of like Ole Miss. They got that one College World Series appearance since 2014, the only one that they've had since like 1973. And they just think that they're so amazing, because there was even one guy. So, you know, there's been a lot of beef, as you guys can imagine, on Twitter. And there was one guy, and he said he was a reporter, and he actually had a pretty decent followers compared to who he was following. So he might actually be a legit reporter. But he had on his Twitter bio, Ole Miss 2020 baseball state champs, because when the pandemic ended, or when it ended baseball season, they were number one.
Number one.
Yeah. I meant to take a screenshot of that, but there was just too many things going on. Because I was in a really petty mood on Twitter today. I was getting in with all the trash talking just because of who the opponent was. But yeah, it definitely didn't disappoint. You know, to no one's surprise, it didn't happen without any drama, whether it be having to play a doubleheader Saturday because it was raining on Friday, or whether it was, like I previously mentioned, Arkansas being up 11 runs going into the bottom of the third and then allowing Ole Miss to tie it at 14. But the Hogs were able to pull it out and preserve the series win as we head back to another week-long stand at Baum. And, Kevin, I know that over the last couple of weeks, throughout the course of this season, you have talked about some things that have frustrated you, just from the, like, you know, us being able to score a lot of runs, but also giving them up. So I'll get your instant reaction to start off.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a dogfight all weekend, having talked to Troy Eklund and then was on with Randy Rainwater the same night, that this was the most complete team we faced all year, and it was the most evenly matched team we faced all year. And you can see that they had, what, 44, 45 hits on the weekend. So it was going to be a struggle no matter what. I think we did a really good job in the first game yesterday. And Rippey said, whichever team gets hot, that's usually what happens and wins the ball game. You go back to the 2019 season and the Super Regional. That's what happened. We were hot games one and three. They were game two. Big deal. They won 13-6 in the middle game yesterday. We jumped out 11-0 today. And it was the first time I've watched a college baseball game involving the Razorbacks and saying, I don't like this. I don't feel comfortable. Even after Caden Wallace hit a 3-run home run, because there was too much of the ball game left. Lyle Lockhart, like I said, going 2 1/3 inning. That is still an issue, guys. We have our starters going out there. And let's see, Wicklander didn't last very long. Peyton Paulette got stretched out a little bit. He made a mistake yesterday, gave up a 3-run bomb. But we've got starters that can't go 4 or 5 innings. That's going to tax our bullpen no matter how deep we are later on in the year. So we still got to get better against left-handed pitching. McKaysey kind of carved us up a little bit yesterday. We were able to get to him and then kind of make a mini run, get it back to 7-5, 8-6. Matt Goodhart struck out 4 times today. Just got to figure out if he needs to go back to the eye doctor or what, but still got a lot of strikeouts. Robert Moore looked good at the leadoff spot, had 4 walks on the day. It's good to see him seeing the ball a little bit better. He had a couple of smashes off the right field wall, depending on some younger guys as well. But it is what it is. We got out there with a 2-1 win. We're going to be number one in the nation for now. It doesn't matter because 6 weeks from now, it could all change. I still think this team is not clicking on all cylinders. Once it is, it's going to be a really dangerous team. We just got to figure it out.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to ask you, you know, when you talk about elite teams, they always find a way to win. And yeah. And how many other teams having an 11-0 lead see it evaporate and now it's a 14-14 game? How many other teams would fold? A lot. Yeah. A lot. For Arkansas to sit there and take it on the chin, all right, we got confidence on our bats and then score four more runs, that says a lot about what's going on with this program, the discipline. You know, we've seen it all, the cardiac hogs, the heart attack hogs, we've seen it all season long. Be patient, you're going to get it. And I think that's what they have proven time and time again. This was another one where not that they were behind and then come back. They were out to 11-0 lead. They come back and tied it at 14, and then Arkansas jumps out for four runs. So, I mean, that's what got me, you know, when you talk about being impressed with this team is that shows you that this is the true elite team. This is the true number one team in the nation because you did it against the number three team in the nation. And out of the big three sports, I think it's one of the most competitive. I mean, you're right there. You don't have pads or there's not just five on you on a basketball court. I mean, you've got 9-on-9. You're sitting there jawing the whole stinking game with social media, and the fans are more, you know, you got more fan interaction than trash talking in baseball. So all that combined and the hatred of Arkansas and Ole Miss, I love it. I love the rivalry. It gets it excited because guess what? Every year you're penciling in when Arkansas and Ole Miss plays, and it just works out better when you win.
Kevin, I wanted to ask you, so outside of really Kevin Copps, there really wasn't much that impressed you when it came to pitching. You talked about Lyle Lockhart, you talked about Paulette and all those guys. So what do you do here in terms of the weekend pitching? You know that Lockhart's probably going to stay at that Sunday spot. Overall, he's been our most consistent guy, been the Sunday guy since day one of this season. But do you try Zeb maybe again? Do you shift it up a little bit? You know, what do you do from here?
I think Zeb looked better coming out of the bullpen. The velocity wasn't there. And I will say Caden Monk did really well today. I think it was today. It was a long game. But he looked pretty good. He only gave up one hit, walked a couple guys, gave up a run. But it's going to be how the Tampa Bay Rays got to the World Series last year. You're going to have a starter that hopefully can get you three or four innings, and then it's going to be by committee. The problem is you start running Kevin Copps out there two times a weekend. He's not going to – I don't care how strong he is at 24 years old, mature. He's going to be wore out by the time June gets here, and that's not good. So you're going to have to find some guys that they have settled in on the ones that can really help. My brother, and I'll bring this up, he asked me, he said, why would Van Horn leave Ramage out there and just get killed like that? I said, because he had to look forward to today. You didn't want to run anybody out.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.